Hello and welcome to the latest Charity Digital podcast in partnership with Click IT. Today we're going to be talking about everyone's favourite topic, artificial intelligence, and specifically what it can do for charities. Getting to grips with AI in 2025 is no mean feat, given the sheer amount of tools emerging, some out of seemingly nowhere and all professing to change the way we live and work. And in the charity sector, many of us are still trying to understand how the existing tools can help us, let alone experimenting with new ones. The 2024 Charity Digital Skills Report revealed that 45% of charities are using AI tools informally, trying them out in their day-to-day operations, with the most common uses being developing online content and administrative tasks. But we know this is only scratching the surface of what AI can do, which is why we want to explore it further in today's podcast. Of course, for charities in particular, getting to know AI is complicated. As a sector with a low threshold for risk, under high levels of scrutiny, and with vital services needing to be funded and delivered, charities have limited time and resource to dedicate to AI and to identify where it can best help, despite its future potential. AI may even be able to give us that critical time back, but who knows? And this is where today's podcast comes in. So, in this episode, we are joined by Adam Graham, Managing Director of Click IT, to discuss the opportunities and use cases of AI in the charity sector. We'll be looking into exactly how AI can be used in the charity sector, how to create an effective AI policy for your organisation, and Adam will be sharing practical advice for charities on their AI journey. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
As you mentioned, I'm Adam Graham, so I'm the MD of Click IT. And for the past 20 years, Click IT for charities have worked really hard to become the number one IT provider for non-for-profits. We look at the challenges of the not-for-profit sector, such as low operational budgets, remote workforces, and varying levels of technical expertise. So we want to work hard to understand the sector and provide personal, flexible solutions with a team of friendly people behind it.
Lovely. Thank you very much. So the big question, and I think it's on any, I mean, I assume you're having lots of conversations about this at the moment as an IT company, but how can AI help charities?
Yeah. So obviously it's a huge topic and everyone's talking about it. Been one of the topics over the last 18 months that everyone's been talking about. And for the charity sector, it really is a game changer. It's about making charities more efficient. AI isn't replacing the team, it's making that team more efficient and they're better at what they can do and be able to put more output, which is what we want to achieve.
Brilliant. Do you expect it to change the way that charities work?
Oh, 100%, yeah. There's a huge number of purposes that we can look at and way we can help the charity sector by using AI. There's many, many opportunities out there from enhancing fundraising, donor engagement, using it for social media and marketing, streamlining operations and support, so creating policies, writing grant proposals, driving into data-driven decisions, so using your data, which you have a huge amount of data in the charity sector, so using your CRM system and interrogating that data with AI can be fantastic and give you the insights you need. So yeah, really looking at improving all areas of service delivery as well, automating tasks and freeing up resources.
Yeah, we're doing a campaign at the moment called Reimagining Services, and a lot of that is about designing services with service users in mind, but AI is going to be instrumental in that, I imagine, with the, yeah, as you say, the sheer amount of data that we've got on hand to be able to shape those services.
That's exactly right. And if you can get AI into interrogating your data and looking at your CRM system, depending on what system you have, that is going to be the absolute key to be able to pull out those insights and get those data-driven decisions, especially for things like, you know, fundraising and donor engagement.
Totally. So I guess this leads us quite nicely onto the next sort of question. What are the most useful AI tools for charities to look at now?
Yeah, so obviously there's a number of platforms out there. Ones that we've been using mostly at Click IT are the large language models, such as ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, and obviously, Google have now introduced Gemini, which is a fantastic tool as well. So they're the key ones that we've been using and really looking at the free versions initially, but also the paid versions was really, really important. So yeah, definitely looking at those tools for such as content creation. ChatGPT can be used to create content for marketing, can help you write grant proposals. Gemini for market research. So obviously, you're used to Googling something. Now you can just put that information into Google and you'll get an AI-powered answer, which could be a lot more direct and to the point. And then, using Copilot, Microsoft Copilot as well, which can interrogate your own data.
Which tool would you say would suggest for beginners, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't used something like ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot, they are the ones that are the easiest to pick up, easiest to use. Anyone can go in. My children go in and use it on a daily basis. And, you know, they can, you can type in a request, you very much need to look at the way you're using it. But initially, just ask a few questions and keep refining your questions and keep on getting better answers. And you can get free accounts with these. Do sign up and use an account. It does it make it more secure. But yeah, using those large language models, it's a really good way to get started and get more comfortable with the AI platforms.
Can I just ask you a point on the secure part? I didn't know that an account makes it more secure. Could you just explain a bit more about the security of the platforms, I guess?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so there's, whether it be ChatGPT or Copilot, both you can log into. So when you log in, that makes the data more secure. Specifically with Microsoft Copilot, once you are logged in, it will show you a little icon in the top right-hand corner that shows that you're logged in, and that shows that your data is secure. So with Copilot especially, your data is not being used to train the model, whereas with ChatGPT, your data is being used to train the model, but it's still private and secure, especially if you're logged in. So definitely making sure you're logging into either of those platforms will make sure your data is secure. But again, Copilot is much better for sort of guaranteeing that your data is not being used to train the model.
That's very interesting. Thank you. I think that's a AI tip, I believe. Are there any sort of more that you would suggest? Sort of, I've heard a lot about prompt engineering, but I am not convinced I know what that is.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the first tips as well would definitely be looking at, obviously, as mentioned before, there's free tools, getting your hands on with the free tools, using those for beginners. But actually, the more you use the tools and the more you can get into it, those paid tools are actually significantly better. They're more useful. They have a lot more tools built in. For instance, Copilot within Microsoft 365 can actually interrogate your data. So it can review your team's meeting and give you feedback on the meeting, recap action points, who's been talking where, what you need to follow up on in the meeting. You can use it in Outlook to summarize an email trail. You've ever been sent one of those email trails that's 35 emails long and the last minute you get, at Adam, could you look at this? Okay, now I've got to read 35 emails. Again, using Copilot in the app is a fantastic way to be able to summarize that email trail and just save you time. So the paid tools are significantly more useful. I know as the not-for-profit sector budget and money is really, really important. Mm. But definitely having to look at those tools and saying, you know what, we might invest in that tool for one or two users that will get the best out of it, that people have got the most experience maybe, can really make a big, big difference as well.
I was just going to say, are you seeing a lot of charities making use of that at the moment, or is it still an unexplored area?
We definitely are. It's obviously new and coming to the fore, but we're definitely seeing a lot more use cases out there. We ran a roundtable at Microsoft last week. We had about 15 charities attend, and some are very much new to the using AI and had one or two users and dipping their toe in the water. But a few are a bit further down the line and definitely seeing the benefits with the free tools. And then they're looking at more of the paid tools as well. One of the fantastic paid tools that we've been using internally they're called agents or custom GPTs. And that really allows you to put your content into AI to start with, so it knows about yourself and your organization, and then produce answers based on it already knowing you. So you're giving it the context in advance, which is fantastic.
That's great. And actually, that leads me a little bit to something I should have asked earlier. But so when you say that your data is used to train ChatGPT, but it's secure, what does that mean exactly? So does that mean that it will inform their other findings, or is it just used to, basically, what does that mean?
So training the model is the model learning the language. So it's learning the responses that it gives you, whether they're good responses or bad responses, based on there's a thumbs up and a thumbs down, which you can use. And there's also the questions you ask it will be training it that answer was either not good enough or not exactly what you wanted. So that's training the language of the model, whereas the actual data going into the model is secure, i.e. if someone asked it a question about the question that you've asked, it's not going to give it the answer about your charity or your data.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. I'm glad I asked. Yeah, that's really interesting. And especially because, as you said, charities are at different stages in testing their AI. Would you say the paid for options are better for more advanced users at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's where we've seen the real benefits in our organization. Is we were using the free versions for about 12 months internally. Again, some users more keen than other users. But actually, having a couple of those paid licenses and those paid accounts, really, that's where we start seeing the real, real benefits. You got to see that those, as you say, the Teams meeting recaps, the preempted answers. So we gave it all the information about our organization in advance. Therefore, we can use that and it comes out with an answer straight away that's defined to our organization and how we want to use the AI. rather than having to give it all of the information before. You mentioned prompting and how to prompt, and that's really important. And those paid versions, you can kind of pre-prompt.
Could you explain a little bit more about what pre-prompting is?
Yeah, so pre-prompting is using those paid models, and you can give it all of the information, the context beforehand. So prompting is really, really important how you use the AI model. So we used to, as a society now, Googling things. So you type in 3, 4, 5 words and you get an answer back based on those words. You need to keep it short and simple. AI is very, very different to that. So with AI, we've come up with I think Microsoft came up with it, the GCSE method, which is sort of split out into 4 parts: goal, context, source, and expectations. So the goal is to define what you want the AI to do. So summarize this report. Context, so providing the background information. So we are a managed service provider for charities. Source, so specify any data or references or formats that you can use. And then the expectation, i.e. I want the response to be in British English, in bullet points or in a blog format or a social media post format. So setting out the goal, the context, the source, and the expectations. You really want to give it as much information as possible, which is very, very different to Googling something where you give it a very short instruction, give it as much information as possible, as much context. And pre-prompting means you can give it that context and that background information and some of the data to use before you actually go in and start asking the questions. But you can only do that in the paid versions.
This is fascinating. This is why you should always talk to an IT expert about AI, right? Like, I feel like we've only scratched the surface. So, yeah, I guess this takes us quite neatly into practical steps. So where would you advise that charities start with AI for those that are curious now?
Yeah, so it really is about starting. First thing I'll start with is the AI policy. So really looking at how your team is using AI and how you want them to use AI. That's really, really important to look at why and how you're going to use AI. And that starts with an AI policy. So like I say, little things like using it logged in and using the tools that you want your team to use. So saying, okay, we only want to use Microsoft Copilot because that keeps our data secure and safe, or ChatGPT, and maybe not using tools that people aren't so sure about, such as DeepSeek or some of the other tools available that maybe aren't as mainstream and have those protections in place. So we really want to look at writing that policy. And again, the first place you can use to write that policy is asking AI to help you write a policy. Tell AI, we're not for profit. This is what we do. This is how we want to use your tools. Can you write a policy based on that? Obviously, again, this is not doing your work for you. So you have to go and check the result, make sure it actually makes sense. But yeah, getting a policy in place and communicating that to your team is absolutely where you need to start.
Because, yeah, as we saw from the stat I mentioned in the charity digital skills report, people are using it informally, and that's what we don't want, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. If people are using it informally, you don't know what tools they're using. You don't know what data they're putting into it. So again, you don't want your service user data being used. You don't want any kind of GDPR data being put into it. So it is really important to make sure that you're getting that policy in place and communicating that to your team as the very first starting point.
What sort of things should we think about putting into an AI policy?
So yeah, the tools to use is obviously the most important one, I would say. Using the system, as I say, logged in. So making sure you create an account, hopefully with an organizational email address, so that data's within your organizational control. And then obviously making sure that people aren't using that sort of demographic data or GDPR protected data or anything that could be confidential. So really making sure we're only putting in sort of dummy names, dummy information to get out the answers that we want.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's really helpful. And what risks should they be really looking out for? Because I guess that's part of the policy, is, as you said, like making sure we use data, but without protections in place.
Exactly right. So the risks are, for instance, as I say, GDPR data, and making sure that any data you're putting in is not GDPR protected. And that's really important. Obviously, again, the answers you get, you know, AI algorithms can inherit bias. They can give you incorrect information. So making sure that you're not getting biased, incorrect, wrong information. So you need to check your work and having a clear understanding of how it works, so that you're using the tools in the right way with, you know, clear guidelines as to how you're trying to achieve what you are set out to do.
Have you seen charities have a lot of success with AI policies? Have you seen a lot of them in practice?
Yeah, as I say, we had a roundtable last week, and there's a number of organizations there that were using AI. One organization was using AI to target and raise more income from direct mail campaigns. So again, giving it the context, this is our audience, this is what we're trying to achieve. And it led to, I think it's about 25% uplift in income, which was fantastic for them. The week before that, I was up at a youth zone. So a youth zone is a community hub, and they have young people coming in using their resources, and they have actually set out a whole host of AI tools that their team are using to help drive engagement, fundraising, and operational efficiency. So it's really, we are seeing organizations out there using this already and seeing the benefits of that.
Yeah. So I said at the start, like, we're barely scratching the surface, and I do think that's true. But I think the fact is that it, I mean, 25% uplift is huge in donations. So I think there are practical cases of it actually having effect. And I think we're not talking enough about those in this sector, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, just little things, you know, one of the things that an organization wanted to try and do was define their target audience in terms of donor fundraising and strategy. And that might be corporates or high net worth individuals or grants. And you can use AI to go and do the research for you. So you could put in, this is our mission, this is what we want to achieve, and this is the type of funding we want to go and get. And it will give you a list of information that you can then reference as well, because it can link to the website, so you can dive into that data and really look at targeting your fundraising campaigns.
It sounds a little bit like what charities have tried to do, but not had the tools to be able to do it on that scale before.
Yeah, the tools and the resource.
Yeah, well, exactly. So that's hopefully where we can see AI have its impact, because we're a very resource-poor sector.
Exactly, yeah. Having those, you know, limited small teams, part-time workers, remote workers, you know, people trying to do it as volunteers. So again, AI can really bring that together and help you use what little time you have or resources as an organization and maximize that with the data that you're getting out.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I hope to see a lot more charities. I hope to hear more examples of that. That's really good. And how can charities sort of stay ahead of the curve? Because I think you spoke a little bit about, well, mentioned DeepSeek earlier. That seemed to come out of nowhere a couple of weeks ago. I think AI just feels like it changes all the time, but maybe that's not true. I don't know. How can charities stay on top of it all?
Yeah, 100%. It does change all the time. That's really, really important, actually. Keeping abreast of those changes is a very difficult task, and learning how to use it. So you really need to look at having maybe an AI champion or a couple of AI champions within the organization and investing in the AI. So not just investing in the tools, but actually investing in things like training, and that might be an investment in time. So listening to today's podcast, signing up for some newsletters, looking on LinkedIn, YouTube, there's a number of resources out there, you know, equipping the team with the AI knowledge and skills and having a few champions in the organization. They communicate that down throughout the team. That's really, really important. Speaking to organizations like ours and like Charity Digital, collaborating with experts and partnering with organizations. And then looking at how you can follow it on, obviously there's a lot of newsletters you can subscribe to and social media as well.
I've not heard about an AI champion before, but that seems like a very clever idea to me.
Yeah, definitely. It's really important having someone in the organization that can drive forward, someone who's engaged and keen to learn about AI. And there normally is one or two people in an organization that's already using AI. You need to kind of find that person within your organization or within your trustee base maybe, and really try and see if they can then look at the use cases, because it's not until you get the use cases that it really starts to make the changes. When you start seeing how it can affect your organization and the things that it can do for you, that's really where you can use it to support your mission.
Totally. We had an AI summit last year, and I think a lot of that was, okay, so this is the theory, where next? And I think that's what this podcast was meant to be for. So I'm glad that we've covered a lot of that. It's really, really interesting. And yeah, I'm fascinated by the idea of an AI champion, because it feels like it's a lot of what we're learning about it is also a confidence issue. Is that about right? Yeah.
Like looking 100%. We're seeing that 100% is people are using it, touching the surface, asking a few questions here and there, but not really sure how they can use that to improve their workplace and you know, get that engagement or, you know, towards their mission. So it's really important. So starting with some simple project, like I say, some market research on the fundraisers, or looking at how you can better improve your blogs or your newsletters or your website. Starting with those small projects and really then trying to push that out and seeing how people then have ideas. Oh, they've seen it used in this way. Maybe we can try it like this. So piloting those small projects and then training the staff on the tools.
Brilliant. Thank you. One tiny last question, and it's quite a big one. So actually, I said tiny, not. Where, if a charity was is about listening to this, it's like, right, I need to get started on AI. I've left it too long. It's now. Now's the time for me. What would the first step be, would you suggest?
Yeah, so you can get in touch with our team. We're offering AI courses. As I mentioned, we had a roundtable last week, and we put on a lot of AI content, so AI webinars and information on this with live demonstrations of how to use AI and how you can use it for charities. We've got a lot on our YouTube channel and on our social media. So looking at organisations like ours that are putting free and free valuable information out for organisations is really important. You know, following on and looking at, okay, this is what we want to do and how can we do it? So let's look at, you know, getting a demo, setting up a consultation, having a conversation with someone who's used AI and really trying to pull the team into that once you've had that initial sort of consultation.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's really helpful. It's been a really insightful discussion. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
It's been a joy. It's been really interesting to learn so much more about AI, because as I say, I feel like I hear about what it can do, but not what it is doing. And we've heard a lot about that today. So that's been really interesting. We hope everyone listening has enjoyed too. You can find a lot more IT and digital resources on the Click IT website, as Adam mentioned, and on the Charity Digital website as well. And we've linked both in the description. We did a report at the end of last year about digital inclusion, and collaboration and training were really big themes that were needed in the charity sector. So we've got some free resources, so please make use of them. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.